This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
it's kind of a funny story. I was on the stationary bike this morning watching the World Junior coverage. I'm like, we should have Rich Sutter as our World Juniors insider. Boom, send. I sent it to Rich.
How about that?
Not Clark. So Rich wrote me back, I'm in! When Christmas rolls around, everybody's going to be locked down. We're all going to be watching the World Juniors, and we'll all convene here every morning to talk about the game the night before and tee up the next night's game.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to a brand new show. 375 shows in, and Clark finally got it. You didn't hear what he said.
No.
He goes, all right, talent, you're going live in five.
Oh!
He finally got it.
Yes.
Rod here, Dupes there. We are live on this Monday, December the 7th, ready to talk sports for the next couple of hours. As we set, oh, am I out of the way?
No,
here?
You're good.
Okay, we're all set.
They'll find
I
you.
I see the cameras moving. Woo! It's like an old SCTV skit. Again, I'm Rod. He's Darren. We're talking sports today. Did you have a great weekend?
I had an amazing weekend. You know what the bet? We didn't talk about this in the morning meeting, and I wish we would. I meant to bring it up. The best thing to come out of the weekend was the return of the Monday morning goalie today. No, I know you almost spit out your coffee. But
people are digging it.
People are digging it. Like, to me, I like, now this is weird, but I was kind of like fanboying again. Like, I was like back in 07, 08, when I first kind of started reading the blog on a daily, two, three, four times a day. It was the Monday morning column and the Friday Rodservations that were just like every day. So it was like, as soon as I saw it, I was in.
For those that don't know what Darren's talking about, I dusted off the column. I brought him off the bench, the Monday morning goalie, and it's posted at rodpeterson.com right now. You want to talk about building a brand. And I appreciate you saying that. I had a lot of hockey scouts, of all things, texting me today going, it's back, it's back. So that was nice.
Yeah.
And a lot of those topics that are in my Monday morning goalie column are what we're going to get to in the Quick Six show topics here. In moments, I just want to do a little business here and tell you that we're coming to you from the bunker in the sweatpants capital of the continent. And coming up on the program today, hour one, Craig Button from TSN. What a lot of you don't know is, I would think most know that he was formerly the general manager of the Calgary Flames. Before that, the assistant GM, director of amateur scouting of the Dallas Stars, and that's where he was my dad's boss for 20 years, 15, 20 years. And I've known Craig since I was 15 years old, so I'm looking forward to getting him on the program today.
That'd be cool.
Nice work, Clark. And Rich Sutter, too, by the way. I don't know if I'm going to repeat all these same things in hour two when we go to Game Plus, but Rich Sutter, our World Juniors analyst, my oldest brother, the cowboy, said to me recently, he goes, where did you and Rich got to be great friends? You just can't figure out why his idiot little brother and this 13-year NHL veteran from the Sutter clan would be such great friends. And it was in the mid-90s in a Lethbridge hotel. The Pats were on the road, and Rich Preston was our coach, and one of his very best friends is Rich Sutter. Richie came down to the hotel to have coffee and breakfast with the team. We hit it off. Boom. Here we are 25 years later.
Wow.
Isn't it funny how those things work?
That's how it happens, right?
That's how it's supposed to happen.
Newsflash.
That's how it's supposed to happen.
We're all people. It's just another person.
Put their pants on one leg at a time like everybody else. Now, let's go to the Quick Six show topics, please, because this is going to be fun. I see viewer Todd Pinkney says, great day for hockey talk. Every day is a great day for hockey talk, Pinks. Hang on. But we're opening with football. Point one, week 13 NFL notes. Your Titans, Clark's Falcons all lost. Now, that's not a surprise. Clark knows his Falcons lose every game. But your Titans lost to Chris Jones, Cleveland Browns. And they got out to a franchise record. They put 38 points on the board in the first half.
Yeah, they lost in spectacular fashion.
Well, at least he can be entertaining. But
exactly. And I put this out there and this, you know, had the confusing gif of trying to follow this Dars. But it's like everybody wants to say we lost to Cleveland, so we suck. Or you lost, the Seahawks lost to the Giants, so you suck. But it's the NFL. Everybody's kind of good. You know, they're all talented. And it's about matchups. Say the Browns. I put them in the really close to my top five, but not in my top five last week. They're loaded with weapons. Myles Garrett in the defense is pretty good. You know, if Baker can manage
Aaron,
the game,
come on.
they literally, you know, picked apart the Titans defense, and the matchup was
good. Are you getting worried?
I've been worried about the defense, but I'm not worried about the team.
You think they're Super Bowl contenders?
Ish.
He had to think about it. He had to think about it, folks.
There's only three Super Bowl contenders.
The Dallas Cowboys, by the way, play on Tuesday night against the Baltimore Ravens. That's my team, and that's when the Cowboys will lose. They will complete the trifecta of the three of us around here. There's more NFL news, but I'll say this. This weekend, I kind of checked out a little bit. I didn't watch 9 hours of football on Sunday. I went and visited with family Saturday. Socially distanced, all the rest. But I just kind of checked out for a bit, and it was good.
Yeah.
But I'm back today. Point two, top 10 CFL free agents. This is how all of this comes together. I furloughed my football writer, as you know. I would have normally said for that Out of the Tunnel column that gets posted on Mondays, can you come up with your top 10 CFL free agents? Can't do that because I furloughed him. So I'm like, I guess I got to come up with my top 10 CFL free agents. And you said you read it?
Oh, yeah.
We'll come back around on that a little later on. Who would be your number one free agent? Did you look at the list of available players?
Yeah, and I was really surprised that Henock Momo was number two on your list. But yeah. I got to think about it because my heart wants to say Charleston. But partly it's because of the relationship we have, too, and what he's done. He is a little bit older. He's only got a couple of years, you know, a few years left. I like Charleston, but I'd have to look at the list a little bit deeper.
I got my list in front of me, the top 10 CFL free agents. And I ask you, by the way, if you're enjoying the warm-up here for Four Seasons Sports Palace, come in and warm up at the Four Seasons, your home for the NFL, please go down to the bottom of your screen and click share to all your Facebook Live friends. Facebook friends, that would help us out a great deal. Here are my top 10 CFL free agents. Maybe this would be more apropos. Number 10. Actually, number 11. Sir Vincent Rogers. He was in my initial top 10, and then he got squeezed out.
Yep.
And I'll explain. He's the 11th. Number 10, wide receiver Greg Ellingson. Number 9, linebacker Avery Williams. Number 8, defensive tackle Drake Nevis. Number 7, defensive end Charleston Hughes. Number 6, quarterback Jeremiah Masoli. Holy moly, here comes Masoli. Number 5, Brian Burnham. Number 4, running back Andrew Harris. Number 3, offensive tackle Stanley Bryant. Number 2, linebacker Enoch Mwamba. And number 1, wide receiver kick returner Brandon Banks. And when I did my list initially, I didn't notice that Jeremiah Masoli was available for Hamilton. So I had my 10. I had to put Masoli in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Sir Vincent Rogers, friend of the show, he got squeezed out.
Yeah.
So he is the 11th. But at least he's in the starting 11. And I can go through all the reasons for that, but when you have the reigning most outstanding player in the league as available, he's got to go to number one immediately, doesn't he?
Yeah, I would think so. A guy who can, you know, be a game breaker for you in multiple facets of the game.
Jeff the Stamps fan writes in and says, Riders need to do something on defense fast. It's been good as of late, but it's aging quickly. And it's a good point by Jeff the Stamps fan this morning for two reasons. One, almost the entire Rider defense, it would appear, is free. By name, Ed Gainey, Solomon Elamimian, Charleston Hughes, as you said. I looked at Calgary's list. It was hard to pick somebody. And what that means is just about everybody's already locked up for the Calgary Stampeders. The only two guys were Cordero Law, I fiddled with, and Kamar Jordan. And Shane Bergman's a pretty big part of their offensive line, but Dad Huff, he doesn't leave many loose ends lying around, does he?
No, he really doesn't. That's so true. They're in a pretty good spot. You're right. I think Cam Judge is a free agent, too. The Rider defense, they got some work to do. And for Huff, I mean, it's a good, probably a good feeling for him to be in, to knowing he's got his guys locked up.
Mandy in Edmonton's watching. She says it's a shame regarding free agents that the ones that were free agents in 2019 that could be signed in 2020 but hadn't yet are not included on the list. And that would include, I think, Deion Lacey. I think he signed a one-year deal. It's a shame, but it is what it is. What you going to do? This is where we are. Point three. Here in the Quick Six, a Connor Bedard prediction. My goal is to make you sick of hearing about Connor Bedard, the first ever WHL exceptional player. We've been kicking this around a little bit for a while, you and I, but it looks like the dub season's going to play. That's what we keep hearing. And one popular question is, how many points will 15-year-old Connor Bedard have in his 15-year-old season, his rookie season. And I've set a point of the game. I think you're one of the ones that scoffed at me. A lot of people have scoffed at me. My brother and I were talking about it on the weekend. And I said he's going to play a regular shift. He'll be in the top power play unit. Y'all still scoffed at me. So I went and looked up the points for Connor McDavid and John Tavares in their exceptional 15-year-old seasons in the OHL. You saw that, Dupes, if you read the column you said.
Oh, yeah.
Connor McDavid had 66 points in 63 games. John Tavares had 77 points in 65 games. I think the WHL is going to have a condensed, shorter season because of the COVID and it being shortened. So I'm really going with a point a game based on this. You're sticking with no, that I'm crazy?
No, it's just so tough at 15, and the league is a really hard league to play when you're young. I could see it. I absolutely can see it. He's been playing, right? We've seen him playing over in Sweden. We've seen the highlights. So maybe he'll come to camp ready to go. It's just such a weird year that I really don't want to. It's one year that I'm like, I don't want to go out on a limb and make a prediction because I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, you pulled up those numbers, and I'm convinced it could happen for sure.
Thanks.
He's talented.
Mandy goes on to point out Daron Carter, CJ Gable. Who cares? They'll just add them in the free agent pool. Just because they're not on the CFL's list doesn't mean they're not available. There will be a bigger list. Believe me, every team's got those guys on their board, right, in their room.
Yeah.
Point four. How about this? The Jets almost won. I don't know how much you were paying attention to the game against the Raiders, but it looked like they had it in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the last play, what was Vegas scrimmaging around, around midfield? They needed a touchdown to win the game. The Jets blitzed six, left their DBs in coverage one-on-one. They couldn't do it. And the Raiders scored the game and won the touchdown, won the game. And the analysts are saying that the Jets deliberately made that play call to lose so that they'll get the number one overall pick in the draft. I can't believe anybody that gets a paycheck to be an NFL analyst would say that. Or do you believe that?
No.
No.
No, I'm with you on that. Like, I would think that a general manager or an owner would be up in the box saying,
he doesn't want to win.
I kind of hope they make it. I kind of hope they get it.
Yeah.
But he is not wired to the head coach saying, can you blitz? Can you do something here and let him have this touchdown? Coaches don't want to lose football games because they want to be part of the rebuild. And so when you go, they analyze their game tape too and say, look it, I called all the right plays. We did X, Y, and Z right. We just need better players. And we would have won the game. So coaches coach for you know what they can back up in a meeting room, in an interview. They don't coach to lose football games.
They don't want it on their record, period.
Mm-mm.
And if my wife's watching right now, she could attest how many times my phone's rung at 2, 3 in the morning from some coach who's upset about exactly that. This is on my record, and I got to talk him off the ledge. It's happened multiple times. I'm sure as heck not going to talk about it now, but it's about their record. Do you think any one of those New York Jets coaches want to be known as the guys that are on the staff of the 0-16 Jets in 2020? They don't.
No.
Why would anybody say they did that on purpose? That's disgusting. I could see why the GM would necessarily say, dress this guy, don't dress that guy, dress this guy. You can manipulate your roster to lose.
Yes.
But you're not making deliberate game calls to lose. There's no way. And I've had the discussions with the coaches, and I can't believe that an analyst would say that. Don McNeil from Central Ontario is watching, and he says, why would Adam Gase, the coach of the Jets, tank to not get to coach Trevor Lawrence? Oh, well, I'm getting a headache on that. What's he saying with that?
Yeah, he's like, this coach isn't going to sit here and try and... Well, he's saying, why would he tank to not get to coach Trevor Lawrence? So
okay, yeah, do you see the breaking news?
Yeah.
Stop with that. The Jets have fired their defensive coordinator, Greg, head of the snake, Williams. So he's the guy that made the call to blitz six on the last play of the game, and it cost him. But if that corner doesn't stumble, did you see the play? You saw the play?
He probably makes the play.
Yeah. It's a dumb call, really, by the coach.
Yeah.
But it happens. So they fired the defensive coordinator. Thank you, Clark, for putting that
up. But he's sitting there having his whiskey after the game. And damn, Shoelace is going to get me fired.
That's exactly what he's saying. I wonder if he ever coaches again, Greg. He is the guy that was caught up in the Saints bounty scandal, the bounty gate, right? Just a goof. So I have no problem whatsoever believing that he made that call thinking that they could execute it. And it didn't work and it backfired and now he's fired. From Jason Smith, can someone please stop the bleeding in Chicago? 7 weeks now of pure disappointment. And yes, I'm including their bye week. Yeah, the Bears are who we thought they were. Point five, is Carson Wentz that bad? I watched that game. Of all the games, that was the one that was on television here in our region. And they were going up against a very good Packers team. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget. And just when you thought the Eagles might pull something off, they score a kick return touchdown. They might upset the Packers in the game of the week. They crap themselves and allow a 65-yard touchdown run on defense.
I know. Like, and I was on the edge of my seat watching that, and then all of a sudden, yeah, Aaron Jones hits the big touchdown run, which was fun to watch, but. It's kind of like Detroit, too, right? They fired their head coach, fired the general manager, and everybody's excited to play. You get a little, dig a little deeper, they come out with a win. And same thing happens in Philadelphia. You know, you change the quarterback, it just gives a new energy, new life to the offense, and all of a sudden he puts him in the end zone with a touchdown pass and gives everybody a little bit more of a strut. It's not that Jalen Hurts is that much better than Carson Wentz, but he gets a little bit more out of the offense. They're excited again.
Just a quick couple minutes here in the warm-up, and then we'll step aside and bring in Craig Button from TSN. Point six, there's a Monday Night Football doubleheader tonight, by the way, just so you know. 4 p.m. Central, Washington at Pittsburgh. That should be roadkill, I would think, for the Steelers. An easy one. And Buffalo at San Francisco in the regularly scheduled Monday Night Football game. So lucky you, or lucky us, we got a Monday Night Football doubleheader. Those are the quick six show topics. I just want to point out the Daron Carter story that I wrote in my Sunday 10 Weekend Things column. I told the story of Daron Carter's practice fight where I thought it's been 3 years, enough time's gone by. We're all gone on to our own various things that I could tell that story. Three Down Nation, God bless those guys, love Dunk and the crew, blew it up into something more sensational than I thought that it was. I said, here's what happened with Daron Carter in that fight at practice in October of 2017. I couldn't say anything at the time because I wasn't allowed to post these photos, but here they are. You didn't find it was that inflammatory. It was not intended to be inflammatory to anybody, but Three Down kind of made it that way.
Yeah, when I read it on Three Down, and I mean, this is just, they're picking up the story. It seemed... a little worse than how you wrote it at your website, rodpeterson.com. Because that's where I read it first in the morning, and it kind of felt like, you know, hey, it's Sunday, there's no football, it's winter time, holidays, gather around, let's tell some old Rider stories.
Yeah.
And everybody seemed to love it, and you can kind of just tell, like, just go read the comments in on the two different sites, and you can see the contrast in how people viewed the article. But I thought it's great. I love hearing those inside stories from years gone by. And nobody should care about this, you know, stories coming out or not. I mean, it's football stories. It's practice.
Right.
People were there. They saw it.
So two things on that. One, the only guy that cared was Sam Williams, who laughed and wrote me on Instagram. He's the guy that got in the fight with Daron. He goes, that story's BS. I want to come on your show and tell my side of the story. I said, tell me right now. Via DM, he's like, nope, I want to come on your show. I said, perfect. Clark, get on it. Let's bring on Sam Williams. And then the other, the people were ripping me apart in the Three Down segment comment section. I stopped reading it because I don't care. I know what my intention was. It wasn't to make anybody look bad. It was to tell some stories. Daron doesn't care. I don't care.
No.
And by the end of the week, Sam Williams is going to have his say. So, and by the way, some lady said, Rod, you were bound by being voice of the Riders not to tell those stories. Yeah, at that time. But not anymore. Are you familiar with an autobiography? Memoirs? As I said to Dunk, whether I unleash an atomic bomb at one time or detonate a series of charges along the way, it's the same thing. They're my stories as much as they are their stories.
Oh, yeah.
So, sorry if you don't like it, but that's the way it's going to be. We're going to go out on video chat when we come back. We got a sports update on the way, viewer takeover. So hang on. This has been the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace, your home for the NFL. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We'll get to all your comments more so later on in the viewer takeover segment. But DG writes in Saskatoon on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, Darren, morning, guys. Welcome to a new week. Dupes, need me to stop at the Baker E? Sorry, too soon? He's rubbing it in. Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, clearly.
The Titans D didn't have it yesterday. Looking forward to another 6 hours of football tonight. Again, it is a doubleheader tonight, Washington to Pittsburgh, followed by Buffalo at San Francisco. Let me know, Clark, when we're good to go. Okay? You don't mind getting trolled by fans, do you? It means they care.
Exactly. I'm pretty confident with where the Titans are at overall. I am. I'm fine. We knew the defense was an issue, and it's about the matchup, right? It didn't work out. They went right after the secondary, and hey, we saw what happened.
Somebody, can you guys, if you have a hand, put the comment up from John in Edmonton? It was something along the lines of Rod's making the NFL seem more interesting than the CFL, and that's not good for Canadian viewers. Look, don't blame me. There it is. I think I quoted it exactly. More interesting than the CFL. Don't blame me. The NFL's playing. The CFL is not. It's not my problem. So anyways, let's go out on video chat now. I'm very interested to see where he's situated today. I hope he's at his desk. No, he's not. I thought he'd have a Stanley Cup in the background. Craig Button, sir, how you doing this morning?
I am good, Rod. I am at my desk. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Did you just work out?
Yeah. No, you got to schedule your workouts. We're still open here for exercise in Alberta. So, but you got to schedule them. So my scheduled workout today is 11 o'clock. You know what I like about it? It's an hour time slot. Very few people in the gym, and it focuses you on getting in and getting out. No lingering. I kind of like that. But I should have put up the Stanley Cup in the background.
Well, you're there to work out, right? Not visit. That's the whole idea. But I get it. Craig, I got a lot of things to get through with you. But the number one thing for me is Red Deer. Obviously, I'm watching you and Rashog's comments every day, your coverage. And Ryan said, made it very clear, this is not a bubble in Red Deer that the Team Canada is going through. But, you know, he's never really explained it. What is the setup there in Red Deer for Team Canada?
Well, the way I've compared it, Rod, is that when phase two of the NHL return to play began, it was about, trying to bring the players into the facilities, try to, you know, see where they're at. And we saw in the phase two return to play the NHL, there was some positive tests with players and staff, and even some facilities got shut down for a short period of time. So, you know, that was the initial phase. Now they're into phase three. And phase three now, it's locked down, and the testing is going to be, they have to. Every country now is in phase three, where they have to have three negative tests in the next 5 days before going to Edmonton and being in the bubble, where they'll be tested regularly. So, you know, what happened in Red Deer, and you know, Alberta Health Services, who have worked very closely with Hockey Canada with respect to guidance with the camp, said it's not unexpected what occurred. You know, because you're bringing in players and people from a lot of different areas, but if you don't get it under control with a certain amount of time lag ahead of the tournament, you're going to run the risk and run a greater risk of that virus going into the bubble. And that was one of the most significant ideas of having the camp start when it did and having it be so long. I mean, yesterday, three U.S. players, because of COVID protocols, were not able to travel to Michigan for the beginning of the USA camp. And they will not be able to participate in the World Junior Camp because of the COVID protocols. William Eklund tested positive in Sweden. He's another one now not able to participate in the World Junior. So we're into that phase now because it's such a short tournament that if you test positive or there's a positive case, you're out. There's no wait for a few days and see what happens. You're out. So, you know, they're locking it down a lot more seriously beginning today with the teams going into Edmonton next Sunday on the 13th to enter the bubble.
How often are you getting asked if the World Juniors is going to be played on a daily basis? Because people are writing in wanting me to ask you that. How many times a day are you getting it?
Well, all the time, Rod. And, you know, it's a, it, you know, given what, you know, what's happening across the country, what's happening across the world with COVID-19, it's a question that should be asked. And, you know, when the NHL had their return to play, there was a lot of questions, you know, what was going to happen, you know, what are the chances of them finishing what they start? I think the same questions are normal and natural heading into the World Junior Tournament. And that's why beginning today, not beginning today, but, you know, in the days leading up to today, it's getting tighter. The restrictions around the teams are a lot more tighter. The testing is now, you know, in place. You know, with those mandatory three tests, negative tests before you can enter the bubble. So, you know, we've reached this point and there hasn't been, you know, any, what I would say within the hockey community for the World Junior Tournament, there hasn't been any alarm bells go off. And now what you hope is that you get through this week. And then as they come into the bubble, they're going to have to test negative for four consecutive days before they can open up in the bubble and start to participate and practice and mingle again. So there's this phase that they're going through, and then there's going to be the next phase. So, you know, we can put percentages on it, you know, but, you know, there's a lot of things that are out of the control. And I think that everybody, the IIHF, Hockey Canada, the Edmonton organizers are doing everything they can to mitigate against the risk. And some of that risk is out of their hands, but they can only control what they can control. And I really think everybody's doing a terrific job, you know, right around the world.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, Sammy Costantino, who you know well, was on with us last week and said, you know, you got to get 450 players and staff in from all around the world. But, he understands. It's not like it's not being worked on. We don't see it. People think it's just willy-nilly. Let's hope it happens. And you're right. The IIHF and the officials are working around the clock to ensure that it happens. How big of a blow was it to Team Canada's chances at winning of Alexis Lafreniere being told, or Team Canada being told that the Rangers won't release him?
I would say, Rod, that minimal to none. You know, the expectation if there was an NHL season, Alexis Lafreniere wouldn't be there. Would it have enhanced their gold medal chances? Yeah, it would be ridiculous to say it wouldn't enhance it, but it doesn't minimize it. This Team Canada is one of the most talented groups of players, and I'm talking about the entire player pool. Once you get into the tournament, time will tell how good they are. They're going to have to prove that they're capable of competing for a gold medal, and ultimately, if they do win a gold medal, they'll be judged on that. But this is a very, very talented group of players that, you know, is going to form a very, very competent team. And there's no question in my mind that they're going to compete for a gold medal. And I really believe we're going to get a repeat of last year's gold medal game. You know, as long as there's no kind of real, what I would call significant changes to the teams with respect to COVID, I think it'll be Canada, Russia, and the gold medal. I think they're the two best teams in this tournament.
Can't wait to get it going. Now, here's a question you probably don't get a lot. We're debating around here how many points Connor Bedard will have in his exceptional player season, which it looks like will face off January 8th. I'm saying a point a game. My friends are saying I'm crazy. Tavares and McDavid did it, Craig, when they were 15. Point a game. Over a point a game, actually, in the OHL. What do you think the expectations should be for Connor Bedard here?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, John and Connor were a little bit more physically mature than Connor. So what I would suggest is, you know, if he can get 0.75 points a game, remember, he hasn't played a meaningful game since last spring. I shouldn't say that. He did play some games in the Swedish J20 league, and he did quite well, which is a very, very good junior league. But, you know, if he can do 0.75, 0.8 points per game, which isn't far off a point a game, I think that at the outset that would be really good because he's a very smart and very talented player. What I would say, Rod, is he might have less points per game in whatever the season is. So I'm going to break it into two halves, whether that's 40 games, you got 20-20, where I would expect him to be able to move closer to a point a game once he gets to the second half of the season and starts to get his feet a little more comfortable playing in the league.
Well, Dave Struce, the coach, has said he sat right in this bunker and said they're playing him regular shift. He's going to be running the power plays, probably going to have him killing penalties too. What the heck? So he's going to play him till his tongue hangs out, as much as he can handle it. And from what I understand, he can take it. Physically, he can. And Craig, in the time that we have left, if you don't mind, I drop your name here so much. If you wouldn't mind talking about my dad, and my brothers listened every day as well. Darren came down to my dad's memorial and funeral. He never met my dad. And in the lobby of the Milestone Rink, there was a card from you. You had handwritten to all the staff a thank you when you guys won the Stanley Cup for dad's contributions. So we displayed that as a family. Would you mind speaking about Jim Peterson, if you don't mind?
Well, it's hard to speak about Jim if I don't speak about Judy as well, because your mom and dad were special people. And, you know, you think about your dad and, you know, a farmer from Milestone, Saskatchewan, right? And, I mean, he cared. He loved his family. I mean, he loved his boys. He loved his wife. But he loved helping people. And so many of the things, I mean, Jim was not only a wonderful scout and a dedicated scout. He genuinely wanted to see everybody succeed. It didn't matter who you were or what you were. And you know this, and maybe a lot of people don't know, but Jim went to the Saskatchewan Midget AAA League, and he talked to all the teams in the league and tried to help them understand, you know, about how to deal with the challenges, you know, that you're going to be facing, you know, off the ice. You know, he did it in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, and his contacts in the Western Hockey League were tremendous. So, I mean, he was phenomenal in terms of his scouting, and that really, really understates how important he was to so many young players and how much support he lended to them in helping them not understand what kind of challenges they may face, helping them overcome some of the challenges they were facing, and providing tremendous resources, not just to the players and their families, but also to the coaches and the managers and in those places, because parents are sending their kids away. And they're sending their kids away to pursue a dream. And, you know, as a parent, you want to ensure that, you know, your kid is going to be taken care of and he's going to have all the opportunities. Well, your dad was an instrumental part of that for kids that were going away to play Midget AAA or going to play in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League or coming into the Western Hockey League. I mean, yeah, he had a terrific eye for talent and certainly provided a lot of good insight to us in our scouting efforts in Dallas and contributed a lot of great intelligence to the players we selected. But, you know, far greater in terms of helping people, you know, try to be at their very best. No matter what the challenges were, he was always there for you, always.
Well, I appreciate that, Craig. And the interesting thing that my brothers and I have talked about, we didn't even realize till after he was gone, there wasn't a player in Saskatchewan that he hadn't shaken their hand and looked in their eye and had a conversation with. And I know what that means to a guy like you when you're trying to draft somebody or sign somebody.
Well, you know, Rod, like, you know, it's interesting, and I'm going to bring this up. You know, the Mitchell Miller case, you know, Mitchell, who was drafted by the Arizona Coyotes, who was found guilty of abuse, of bullying, of a young disabled kid in Michigan, and we saw what happened. You know, Arizona renounced the rights to him. North Dakota University said, you're not going to play for our hockey team. And a lot of people say, you know, like, how did they not know? Well, I'll tell you this. I asked myself the same question, because your father knew all those kids. He knew every single kid. It didn't matter who you asked about. He was thorough. I'm going to share this story, so give me a second here.
Sure.
And you'll recall this, Rod. And so when I sit here and I see people say we didn't know and you didn't check into it, that's an epic fail. And there was no way. And people say, oh, what you got to do now? We were doing it in the 90s, and your dad was instrumental in that. Jeff Reeson in the 1994 draft. So in the spring of 1993, not the spring, the fall, a very prominent scout in the NHL had gone in to see Jeff Reeson play in Regina. Now, keep in mind, he had scored 50 goals as a 16-year-old. He was a top player. And the commentary coming out, oh, this Jeff Friesen, you would never want him. You know, he doesn't work hard. He's not competitive. And really assailed him, his character, with respect. Now it was a different type of competitiveness, but really assailed Jeff Friesen. Anyway, fast forward, Jeff has a terrific year. We're picking 20th in the draft. And we're sitting there, we're going, Jeff Friesen might fall. Jeff Friesen might fall in the draft. And, you know, we're going, we better do our work on this. And because we never really spent an inordinate amount of time on players that were going to go in the top part of the draft. We spent the time on the players that we were looking at. We knew about them. Well, guess where it started? It started right with your dad. And your dad was very clear, talking to all the people around the Regina Pats organization, the teachers, the Bill, everybody. There wasn't one, not the tiniest bit that could be corroborated that was negative about Jeff Friesen. In fact, it was exactly the opposite. So here we are, fully satisfied. I don't know how many other teams, you know, didn't go and do the work because he went 11th. He shouldn't have gone 11th in that draft. He should have gone much higher. We're picking 20th thinking he might fall to us. But that was just a perfect example of saying, we are not going to leave any stone unturned. And your father never left any stone unturned.
No, he did not. And that's what he taught me. And 893 games later for Jeff Friesen, pretty good NHL career. Craig, I'll let you go. Your phone's going off. I know you're a busy guy, but hey, we're following everything you're doing.
My phone's not going off.
Something was going off.
My phone's not going off.
Was that the doorbell?
No, I don't think so.
That's what it was.
We got one of those rings, so when people walk by, we get a little bit of the ring. That's what you're hearing. Sorry, but I want to know why are you celebrating the NFL so much? Don't you know it's hurting the CFL?
I know you saw that when I was coming on the air, huh? Oh God. Welcome to this side of the mic. Listen, why are you been in the media so long, man? You're on the dark side. Do you is it because you can sleep at? You get the heap of scorn that we get over here. I mean, are you going to stay in this forever, or are you going back to working for a team one day? What do you think?
I don't know. I'd love to work for a team. I think it's special, but I have thoroughly enjoyed, you know, if you want to call it the dark side, I've thoroughly enjoyed being here. And, you know, what amazes me too, Rod, like for people to accuse you of that, like, I don't know. Like, there might be some people that are as big a CFL supporter as Rod Peterson. I don't know of anybody that's bigger. So, you know, for people to suggest that you're hurting the CFL, oh boy, I'll tell you what, I'm the gloves are off. I'm here to fight for you.
Oh, thank you. I can use the help. Craig, and I got your back as well, my friend. Look, I appreciate it. Have a great workout and keep in touch. And happy holidays. Merry Christmas. It's always good to see you.
Yeah, same to you. You know, and Rod, and, you know, love the Peterson family. Your mom and dad were special people, and the apples don't fall far from the tree.
Thank you, Craig. I appreciate it. Craig Button joining us from Calgary. And by the way, an interesting thing. My dad's funeral, as you know, was held in the rink. The rink. My mom's quiet little country church. So Craig noticed that. My mom always just staying in the shadows, quiet.
She was good with that.
It's what she wanted.
Yeah.
Country church. You know, it was packed too. But dad, hey, you know, bring all the hockey people out and the Cowboys and the Farmers. So, yeah, that was awesome, Craig. Thanks for the kind words. We'll be back with a sports update and more. It's the RP Show. You're watching on Facebook Live and Game Plus Television, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Monday morning coffee get together, and now we can slow things down a bit and get into your questions and comments, but a sports update first. Patrick Mahomes threw for 318 yards and a touchdown in the 22-16 Kansas City victory over Denver in NFL play. Mahomes could have had a touchdown pass in the first half to Tyreek Hill that was initially ruled incomplete, but a television replay showed that the pass was actually complete. Even Tyreek Hill didn't think he had it.
I know.
That's hilarious.
That's very funny.
Kansas City didn't challenge the play and instead punted the ball away on fourth down. But they went on to win and clinched a playoff spot with the victory. Are they the first to clinch, or did Pittsburgh clinch already?
Yeah, there's a couple of New Orleans clinched too.
Pittsburgh would clinch tonight if they win.
That's right.
The L.A. Chargers melted down with a 45-0 loss to the New England Patriots. It was the Chargers' worst loss in franchise history, surpassing a 49-6 defeat to Kansas City. L.A.'s record now 3-9. Sean Merriman going nuts on Twitter last night, by the way, on how bad the Chargers are and saying the Patriots aren't even a good team. He follows us on Twitter, Clark. Would you mind sending a note to Sean Merriman? Let's get him on the air.
Yeah.
Too much NFL. Can you believe these people?
I know.
Sports Illustrated has named Quebecer Laurent Duvernay-Tardif one of its five sports persons of the year, alongside teammate Patrick Mahomes, LeBron James, Naomi Osaka, and Brianna Stewart. The Quebecer won a Super Bowl earlier this year before lending his help as a frontline worker at a long-term care facility during the COVID-19 pandemic. Victor Hovland of Norway holed a 12-foot birdie putt on the 18th hole Sunday for a 6-under-65 in a one-shot victory in the Mayakoba Golf Classic, his second PGA Tour victory this year. Canadian Corey Connors finished in a tie for 17th place at the tournament. Connors fired a 5-under-66 to finish at 13-under-par. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. Open for lunch on Fridays only now during the pandemic. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. From viewer Shane Bradley, Sean Lightout Merriman. Let's get him on and ask him about that. We got a lot of Patriots fans writing in. Unless they're cheering for the Regina Pats, because they say, go Pats! I wear a Pats alumni jacket, and when I wear it in the States, and because I'm 6'4", 6'3 and a half, 6'4", people always come up to me, you played for the Patriots? Yeah, sure. As far as you know, go Pats!
Oh, yeah. That's great. You should play it up when you're down there, when you're that size.
Why not?
There was a comedian, and he was a big guy, and he was black, and he was in Saskatoon, and he was hilarious.
And, I heard that story.
And he was telling the story of jogging down the river, right by the Delta Besbro in Saskatoon, and somebody stops him. It's on a Sunday morning, you know, the day after the show, and they said, sir, do you play in the NFL? Because he's tall, and he's athletic, and he's sculpted. Yes, ma'am. It's noon on a Sunday,
and I'm here.
I'm in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
And I play in the NFL.
Exactly.
Oh, I get it. Wait, is it racial profiling, I guess? I mean, is it that bad in Regina here in the sweatpants capital? Used to be. For years. If you saw a black guy, must be a rider. And here's the thing. He usually was.
Yeah. But it's changed.
Right. Armando Moreno, watching in Mexico, he says there's no such thing as too much NFL, to be honest. Armando missed at the start. Some guy wrote in and said, my constant talking about the National Football League is hurting the Canadian Football League. And I kind of went off temporarily. And Craig Button was watching the TSN Hockey Insider, and he had a laugh. And incidentally, he's known me since I was 15. And he's like, there's no bigger CFL supporter than Rod. And if anybody doesn't believe that, I'm ready to fight him. And that was from Craig Button. Like, what do you want us to do for CFL coverage? I'll hang up and listen when the NFL's playing.
Yeah. And I mean, what are we supposed to just hide the fact that I watched NFL for 9 hours yesterday?
Like, what do you want? And stuff, there was interesting stuff going on?
Yeah. That's what people care about. We talk, it's the coffee table conversation, right? We want to talk about the games yesterday. If the CFL played, we'd talk about those games too. Hey, we talked about the top 10 free agents in the CFL. But it's because you made the list, so we talked about it, and that's the only thing going on right now. So
it's the only league going on right now.
Yeah.
It is the only league, except for NCAA men's and women's basketball, which incidentally, ask me about it because I'm watching. I haven't quite been able to figure that out. Look, why they're playing and we're not. Science is different, I guess, in the States. We're going to take a timeout, and when we come back, viewer takeover, we'll get you ready for hour two when our NHL insider, Rich Sutter, joins us. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it.
Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. Viewer takeover portion of the show. I don't know. The great thing about this show is you never know where it's going. Right? You never know.
Right.
And so the guy wrote in and said, we're talking too much NFL. Armando Moreno says, to me, you're Mr. CFL, sir. What's wrong with people? From Donald Mitchell, watching in Bahrain. Rod talks more CFL than the Toronto media is. From Gary in Winnipeg. Got your back, too, Rod. Thank you, Gary. Devin out in BC. I think it's Burns Lake, BC. We would be talking about CFL, too, if only there was something about the CFL to talk about. Randolph Zoramy says, you guys talking NFL beats listening to crickets chirp. He's saying because there's nothing in the CFL, it's better to talk about the NFL instead of talking about nothing. Oh, thank you, Jason, for getting me back on track. If we were on track, if there is a track. Jason and Smith says, if the CFL fans narrowed the new name of Edmonton to the Empire or the Elks, which one would you choose? Hang on. I'm glad you brought that up. Because our bracket, I got lost a little bit. Remember when I said I just spaced out and went off track for a couple days? I think I'm allowed.
Yeah.
Last week in our bracket, it's on the board here, Empire won round one against the Eggs.
Yep.
And the Elk won round one against the Element. When I leave here today, I will be putting on our Instagram feed more rounds of more matchups in round one. The Eagles and the Escargot. You'll be voting on either one of those two, the Eagles or the Escargot, or the Elite and the Edmonton Football Club. Maybe they just leave it that way.
Be kind of cool, tradition. Just put numbers on the helmets, right? And just call them the football club. Like old school.
John in Winnipeg, John Ohm. Rod can talk about anything. It's just that simple, folks. And that is the truth. But back to these Edmonton team names. I guess it's not going to be the Empire because it's offensive. And I'm waiting for the protests out front of the Empire State Building. Are they going to tear that sucker down?
I know.
Are they going to tear it down? You that offended? The Empire State? Come on. I'll be waiting. You people at Bel Air Direct. You're going to go protest in front of the Empire State Building. I want to see it. So it's not going to be the Empire because it's offensive. The Elk is growing on me. I stopped for a picture in Cabela's yesterday. Did you see it on Instagram?
I saw.
There was what looked like an elk. I was told afterwards that it was a caribou. But elk is really growing on me. I don't have a time to be out, guys, to stop talking. You want to let me know in my ear? 1 minute.
Yeah, you know, elk is okay. I'm still pulling for bears. That's mine.
Come on.
I'm pulling for bears. I don't hate Edmonton Football Club. That's my dark horse. I don't hate it. You know, just put the numbers on the helmets. Call them the Edmonton Football Club.
Like the Crimson Tide.
Exactly. No logo. And I think that would be cool. It'd be the one.
Well, so the Bears, you might as well call them the Eagles then. If you're going to take another team's name.
I just like it for the whole city is the Bears because the Alberta Golden Bears connection. And so you got the Golden Bears, you got the Bears. You know, you can take that E, turn it into a B.
It's going to be the Elk. That's what I think. Everybody's writing in on the Elk. And by the way, what I said, a hockey scout, the hockey people were writing me about the Monday morning goalie. One, and I'm going to out him by saying this, but he said the Shelbrook Elks might have a problem with this senior hockey team.
Ooh, yes.
File a trademark. We'll talk about it all in hour two coming up, everybody, on Game Plus and here on Facebook.
Quiet on the set, please. We're not doing a movie here.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.